Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello, and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are going to teach you how to do a diagnosis on your website using Google Analytics data. So let's get started.
Hi, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing, Mark?
All right. Good. Just getting over the time change. Yours hasn't changed yet, has it? I think it's about a month till yours changes.
I think so. It's when it gets really dark.
Five. It's always like the end of the, you know, it's the end of summer then, don't you? And
yeah.
It's like, oh, great. But
6 months of darkness. Yay.
Yeah. Yay. You go skiing in the Alps, though. I can't do that. That's
true. Every day.
Every day.
Sniff December. Over there.
God, yeah. It's just so quick. Anyway, today we thought we would talk about basically your diagnosis. So what I know, you look at a lot of websites, a lot of big websites, actually, and you have to basically kind of go and quickly look at that, at the Google Analytics of that site and the site, and just get a quick diagnosis to understand what's going on. And obviously you've refined that over the years to be, you know, to basically look really quickly at what's going on, what might need to be done, and what the lowest hanging fruit is. And I thought if we just go through that, then everybody could do that to themselves, you know, go and do that quick diagnosis themselves and really figure out, you know, give them the expert level to work out what's going on. So if we just go through those steps that you do, then I thought that would be really good. And I'll just kind of ask you questions. I'll be like devil's advocate or basically a beginner. And I'll ask you the questions that I think that they would ask as we go through it.
I think so. It's really just a quick health check, really, which I do because often I get asked to look at people's analytics all the time. It's absolutely fine, you know, and you start to get an idea of where to go to see a picture and a pattern. And I have a rule that whenever a client asks us to look at an e-commerce website for them, I have a rule to say I don't look at the front end until they give me the Google Analytics and I've gone in and had looked at the Google Analytics. Because if you start to look at the front end, you start to hypothesize of where the bottlenecks or where the good bits and bad bits are, and you become emotionally tainted. And so I refuse to look at the front end until I've looked at the Google Analytics, and then I look at the front end. And that's just because you've got to go where the numbers are. And just because something might look pretty or ugly on one particular bit of the website, the e-commerce flow, it might be performing fine. That might not be the problem. So you've really got to look at the data. Otherwise, you're doing it in a completely scattergun approach. So I think this is there's probably only about 11 things that I check, and you can pull them off really, really quickly. And it just gives an idea of the type of e-commerce buyer you're dealing with. And then, of course, you can go to it in a lot more detail. But it's just a real top level. And the good thing about it is you don't need to pull any data off and put it into any target sheets but I do actually do that. But, you know, it's there. It's literally just going to it. And as I say, unless you know what to look at in Google Analytics and unless you know what those stats should be, then you don't know. You're blind. You know, there's no point going into Google Analytics if you don't know what your bounce rate should be, you know, i.e. is what's average, because you're just going to look at it and go, oh, there's my bounce rate. There's my add to basket. There's my basket to checkout. There's my average order value. There's my number of items per order. But you've no idea whether or not that's good or bad. So I think that's the key. And it's very hard to get the information. If you go onto Google and you start Googling, you know, what's the average items per order for an e-commerce site, you know, you're probably going to get very little. Or what's the average bounce rate? Because the answers will be, oh, it depends. depends on the device type. It depends on demographics. It depends on average order value. Well, that's true, but at least you know, I'm gonna. I think that's completely useless. So, if I just go through the things that I do on a daily basis when we're meeting e-commerce people, it might be quite useful. So, I'll start. The first thing I do is I do a date range, and I always do a 12 months to date to give me a picture. So I don't go and look at, you know, the last month. I always look at the last 12 months, and sometimes longer than that. But I think 12 months gives me a good idea of what's been happening. There's no point doing it for a week or a month even. You want to get an idea of, you know, what's happening, what's trending. And so the first one is you look at the overview tab. So if you go to just the top one, Mark, you can probably say exactly where these are quicker than I.
It's the audience overview.
It's audience overview. And there's three things. I do the graph. I show users in the top, and I just want to see whether or not the users are going up and down generally from a traffic perspective overall. And I circle three things. I circle the bounce rate, which should be, and I've got an example in front of me. This bounce rate was 44%, which is just slightly higher than it should be. So on average, it's 40%. Anything less than 40% is considered below average. Anything above 40% is considered high. But then you might find, well, it's slightly more mobile focused. But anyway, you're looking for about 40% bounce rate. The next one I look at is the pages per session. And you should expect about 5 and upwards as a pages per session. Number of sessions per user, normally about 2.5. And then there's a little graph on the right hand side, like a pie chart. And that is your new versus returning visitor. And you normally expect about 2/3 blue and 1/3 green is about average. That's where you want to be. If you've got much more blue, it means you've got a lot more new visitors and the returning visitors aren't coming back. But you really want about 2/3 blue, 1/3 green. And that's typical. Because you think, you know, your conversion rate, average conversion rate is, you know, 2-4%. So a lot of people are not buying, which is fair enough. So that's the first tab. The next one I always look at is the geolocation, just to see if there's any opportunity for this business, you know, over in different countries. Because sometimes you find that. Sometimes you go, oh my God, you realize that you've had, you know, 15% of all your traffic is from Germany, and your conversion rate is like, you know, 0.4%. Your normal conversion rate is 3. You know, probably an easy, quick thing to do. So I always look at that, because I really, you know, we want to scale. That clients come to us because they want to scale their revenue. They want to grow. So it's very useful just to look at that and have it be aware. And that's just in the demographics geo. Geolocation, and just
so basically you're saying that basically if they're probably not offering a shipping method for that country, and if they did, then obviously the conversion rate would go up just naturally, and therefore they'd get those existing traffic and they'd just be able to get some orders from that country quite easily.
Exactly. It might just be a case of enabling it. Some people, you know, don't even enable the delivery in for those countries at all. So that's just like, it's sometimes just like, oh my God, you realize there's a massive, and what you can see the normal conversion. So say the normal conversion was 2.5%, and you've got a load of German traffic coming in and they're converting at 0.5%. Well, let's say you'd got that conversion rate up to 1.5%. You then go, well, look, you'd have made another £300,000 this year if you'd just done that. And you haven't done anything to try to encourage that German traffic. It's just naturally there. So if you could have breathed on it, you know, and added a little, you know, IP lookup thing on it and gave it, you know, say, hey, well, you know, safe, secure, fast, free delivery to Germany. You may well have just gone, you know, you got yourself 300K for nothing. So I always look at that. Next one to look at is the mobile device split. So I'm looking at the mobile desktop tablet, and that is in
mobile. So it's audience mobile overview.
That's the one. And I look at the e-commerce tab, actually. In the, you've got a few different views, actually. You've got summary, site usage, and
yes,
a couple
of goals
there.
Explorer tab, you can click on e-commerce.
You click e-commerce, and that gives you a bit more revenue detail, conversion detail. So what I'm looking at, first thing I'm looking at is the users split. So I'm looking at the percentage of users based on mobile, desktop, and tablet. And typically, I mean, I've got the example I'm looking at that I was doing recently was heavily skewed towards mobile. But normally, you know, you desktop, I mean, you can't really say what's higher or lower. It depends. That does definitely depend on your demographics and who you're selling to. If you're selling to, like, fast fashion, to young women, you will expect, you know, 85-80% odd. If you're selling maternity clothes to pregnant women, you'll expect to be that because they're all on the mobile. But safe to say, I mean, mobile is obviously, you know, 5 years ago it was smaller than desktop. But typically it might look something like this: 60% mobile, 30% desktop, 10% tablet, probably even less than tablet actually now. You know, tablet seems to be disappearing, really.
If there's a lot of Facebook traffic, then it can be more skewed towards mobile.
Yeah, that's true. But then the interesting thing is around the conversion rate. So what I look for, and it's always the case, this, you know, no matter how good your mobile site is, the desktop, and how many, it doesn't matter how much traffic you've got, it's very, very, very rare to find a mobile site that converts better than your desktop site. And the normal ratio is the following: if your desktop site converts at 3% as an average, mobile should convert at no less than 1.5, and tablet should be 2. So what I mean by that is your desktop should be double your mobile, and your tablet should be 3/4 of your desktop. So just to give another quick example, if your desktop converts at 4%, mobile should be 2, and tablet should be 3. So as long as that ratio is broadly that, then it shows that, you know, it's generally okay. And, you know, but if your mobile site was converting at 1%, desktop was 5, then you'd say, right, we need to go and look at this, because that ratio doesn't make sense. Because what we're looking for here is opportunities to grow, something that doesn't quite sit, you know, because you go, well, your mobile site should have been converting at half your desktop, which was 5, so it should have been converting at 2.5, it was only converting at 1%. That needs investigating, and there, you know, therefore, if you'd hit those normal ratios, you'd have made another £800,000 this year. And, you know, your mobile optimization, maybe it's going to cost £10,000, if that, and you, there's your return, £800K. And then I'm massively exaggerating the figures, but that's in principle, you're looking for what's lower than it should be based on the averages. So you're just trying to find the quick opportunities. You know, you're not trying to work out how to do it. You're just going, right, you know, bang, bang, bang. So that's quite interesting. The next one to look at is the website flow, the journey, the overview, which is the little flow diagram. And I'm just looking at where the traffic's coming.
Is that users flow?
That's it. Yeah. Users flow. So I'm just looking at where they're going and where they're landing. I mean, this particular site I'm looking at right here, the majority of people starting is landing on the product page. And then you can see where they then go. You can see, oh, they land on the product page, then they go to the home, and then they go back to the product page. And you can see how many people drop off. And it just gives you an idea of what, as a percentage, how many people are coming into home, how many people are coming into category, how many people are coming into product. So you start to get an idea of where the power pages are and what's the overall flow. You know, and that's quite interesting. You can start to see where you need to spend your time. And then I think the most telling one then is the next one, which is similar to the other one, but it's the landing pages. It's where the traffic's coming in exactly.
Yeah, and I find that better for me. So basically you go to behavior,
it is more useful,
site
yeah.
content, landing pages.
Yeah. And what you're looking at here, in the first one normally is always a forward slash. And the forward slash is your home page.
Or your index or something. Index.php or index.html or whatever.
And that's your home. And And that tends to be that. And so you're really looking at the home, where, how many people come to the homepage, how many people come to categories, and how many people come to the products. Because now the reason why I look at landing pages as a real top level, and I circle the column for the bounce rate, is because these are your power pages. These are the first thing people see when they come into your business. So you've got to get it right.
Framing the business.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's like, and you want to look at the top 25. I always look at the top 25 and scan down those, and I'm looking for bounce rates that's over the following. I'm looking for home pages that are bouncing more than 22%. I'm looking at categories that are bouncing more than 50, which is rare. And I'm looking for products that are bouncing more than 60, which is quite common. And so it gives you an idea of really where the problem pages are for the, like, the least amount of effort. So, you know, because you go, you're looking at these pages, you go, right, top 25, I've got 15 pages that are products, of which 10 of them are over, bouncing at over 60%, and they're bouncing at 70. So it's like, right, if I focus on these top 25 landing pages, I'm going to account for like probably 80% of all of the people that are landing on my site. If I look at these pages and get them right, I'm going to have the biggest return for the least amount of effort. And it's so important that, because you can't do everything. You can't, you know, if you've got, I don't know, 20,000 products, or even 2,000 products, or 100 products, you know, You must look at this. You must go to the landing pages, and see what the bounce rate is for these power pages, because this is where your money is. It's like, it's the most significant thing you should look at, and you can't just look at it once. You have to look at it every Monday. So I always look at that, and that then tells a lot of stories, because if the product pages are bouncing more than 60%. It's probably because the traffic's coming from Google Shopping or paid social, and it's landing on the product page. The product page is a dead end page, nowhere else to go. What do? They go back into Google or back into social, wherever they've been. Look for something else. But if it's the home page is bouncing, you then look at that and you go, well, we're not answering the questions around, why should people invest the time here? There's no buckets. You know, there's nowhere to click. It's, you know, all those kind of things, but it just gives you an idea of where you need to start optimizing, which is the key to it all. You've got to know. So that, yeah, that landing page has got an alpha to go, landing page one, landing page two, because depending on how big the site is and how many pages you've got, you need to go a bit further. I mean, to be honest, that 6 months roadmap of work there, you know, just looking at that one side, it's like, it tells 1,000 stories. The next one I'll look at is the channel overview, and I'm looking at really the revenue per channel.
So acquisition, all traffic channels.
That's right. And I'm looking at the main source of traffic, and I'm looking at the conversion rate and revenue for those sources. So, you know, you'll tend to find a paid search, organic, is quite high. And then, but you might find, for example, that email is much smaller than you think it should be, or social is much smaller than you think it should be, or paid search is much smaller. So you start to have an idea. I mean, typically, you know, the big ones are going to be paid search, organic, social, email, and then you have direct and affiliates and other, which will be all sorts of other things. So that's, you know, and it basically, you know, shows you where the money's coming from. You know, how is it actually working? What's happening here? And you can then look at the revenue and the average order value just as an overall. And you can split the channels down. You can go, well, what's, you know, is organic dropping? Is paid search dropping? Is email dropping? You know, what's trending? You know, what's what? And you're saying, you know, you start to go with the flow of the river. That gives you an idea of whether or not this business is an email business, or is it a paid business, or is it, you know, organic one or social. I always look at site speed, next one, because that's always quite useful, because sometimes can be an easy quick win to get the conversion rate up. So you're looking at the, and that site speed overview, and you typically want the site to be loading in GA Google Analytics less than 4 seconds. So if it's like five or six, then you think, nah, let's have a look at that. And then the next one to look at is the site search. So this is your internal site search overview page.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting is that when you do this, you start to realize how much the business is vested in their data in the Google Analytics, because sometimes they don't even tag this. And you're like,
yeah, a lot of the time I find it's not tagged. Yeah,
I know. And you're like, oh my god, you know, you, this is telling you what people actually want. You know, yeah. you've got you know, millions of rows here of data, and it's showing you what people are coming into a shop and saying, I want this. And if you're not looking at that, it's like a massive V, you know, up yours to your customers. I don't care what you want. I'm not interested. But you know, everyone wants to get the conversion rate up. I've got to sell more, I've got to get your revenue. You're not even looking at your search, your internal search. What are you doing? So,
yeah. If people haven't been tracking it, you can see it in behavior content, all pages, and then put in your search like Q equals. You can see it there. So you can see what people have been searched for, but it's not as useful as the actual on-site search. Yeah.
Because what you can see, Google Analytics, you can start to see search exits and search refinements. So, like, it tells you what's happening next. But basically, what you're looking for is you want the search. So typically, you're looking for how many people are using search. Because obviously, search is great because it's an intent to buy. If someone actually knows what they want and they're searching for it, they should convert more, which is why it's interesting. And so you normally, from a B2C site, you normally expect search usage to be about 5 to 8% of all traffic should use a search. So if it's like, if you've got like 1% of people using the search, you're like, wow, something's wrong there. And it's probably because on a mobile it's hidden, or you can't find, it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't even, you know, the search buttons, you know, you can't even press it, or something's wrong. Basically, and the reason why you want it to be, you want people to use search because they convert better. And then, so when they use the search, you're looking for an uplift of conversion between 3 and 4% on average. So
this is just so we didn't say what it was. It's in behavior,
sorry,
and then site search, and then usage is what you're looking at normally.
And so what you're looking at again is an opportunity of where a quick win might be. So if your normal site conversion rate is 2%, if somebody uses the search, you'd expect it to be upwards nearly 8%, because that's four times your normal conversion rate. So if your internal search is only converting at, say, double, you might say, oh, it's brilliant, you know, it's converting at 4%, but your average conversion rate is only 2%, that's bad. I would say, right, you need to invest in your search, because you should be getting a four times uplift. You're only getting a two times uplift. So there's more room, more opportunity. Well,
the reason for that is because the overall conversion rate includes all the people that bounced. So if you've got a 60% bounce rate, so that means 60% of people didn't do anything. Obviously, that's going to push your conversion rate down of your normal site. Whereas if people who search, by their definition, they're not bounced. So you're removing all the bouncers. So you should get a much higher conversion rate for those traffic, because it's all the engaged users in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They know what they want. You know, they're further down the buying cycle, aren't they? So, you know, but then the same way, you know, if you know, a client came to me and said, you know, or I looked at their search and it was their internal search was converting at, say, five times their normal conversion rate for the site, I'd say, there's no point in investing here. It's doing really well. You know, you're not going to gain that much more, you know. So, you know, that's all. So it's always useful. You're just looking at where you're looking at what's odd, you know. Although I might then say, hey, your search is awful and it's still converting at five times your normal conversion rate, then I'd say, my God, there's a massive opportunity here. It's clearly what people want to do. But it's quite an interesting one, that one. And then probably the next one is really the e-commerce overview. And I look at this last because a lot of the slides make up this, but really the e-commerce overview, of course, is giving you your revenue, your number of transactions, your conversion rate.
Yeah, so this is in conversions e-commerce overview.
Yeah, and you know, this is obviously what we're trying to do. I mean, I imagine everybody's looking at this, but you know, what's interesting is you can do some quite interesting stuff on the graph as well. So so above that, I always like to look at the average quantity. So how many products people are buying per order. Because on average, it's about 1.5 across the board. So if people are buying less than 1.5, then you may well find that either this is a business that only sells one product ever, and therefore we might influence the flow. And do we take people straight to the basket? Do we leave them on the basket page? If you've got like three items per order, you then start to think, well, let's do quick shop and quick buy and all that kind of stuff. Whereas if it's only ever a one product per order, then just take them straight to the basket. But you know, but then you also might say, well, it that's going to influence the average order value. If we can get them to buy 1.5 times rather than one item on average, and obviously it's added a huge amount of revenue to the year. But I'm looking at basically your average order value, number of transactions, conversion rate, and conversion rate average, gun to our head, 2% for a business that's recruiting customers all the time, 4% for a business that's got a decent amount of lifetime customer value. If your average order value is higher, your conversion rate tends to be lower. If your average order value is lower, you have more repeat business, conversion rate tends to be higher. For a business like, Contact Lens business, they'll get conversion rates of 12%. But it doesn't matter because it's all comes down to the same mechanical maths, because the next one thing I look at is a shopping behavior analysis. And not all of you will have this set up correctly. If you're on Shopify, you'll have it set up correctly because it comes set up correctly. If you're on Magento or one of the others, you might just have to go and tag it. But you can get it. It's all there. In fact, you can get it within the content anyway. Because what we're really looking at is the amount of people that add to basket, the amount of people that go from the basket to checkout, and the amount of people that go from checkout to order, because that makes the conversion rate. There's no point looking at your conversion rate without breaking it down into those three things, because you'll have no idea what you're doing, and you'll take you years and you'll go all over the place trying to figure it out. You have to break it down to those three. And that's what I look at. And then we take that information and I put it into a little dashboard, which everyone will know, the target sheet we've got. And that then says, right, this is what you're doing now. You're doing 3 million based on these KPIs in order to get to 5 million. We need to tweak your average order value needs to go up by £6. Your add to basket needs to go up from 4% to 6%. That'll get your conversion rate up from 2.3 to 2.9. And there's your the target I just said. So that's, and you can do that literally in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And within 15 minutes, you can then tell a really good story about the type of e-commerce business this is, the opportunity that this business has, because where the strong, where the weak. You can then put the financials in from the target sheet of average order value, add to basket, basket checkout, checkout to order, which tells you where they are now. And then in order to get to 8 million next year, 10 million the year after, you just tweak those numbers. And it then shows you exactly where you've got to focus on. And it's like literally within 15 minutes, you've got a 3-year plan. I mean, that sounds physical, but obviously I can do that. Because I know what the numbers should be. You know what's weird and wacky and where it's strong. And the numbers don't lie, do they? It's just obvious, and it's not looking at the front end. And to do that, at this point, I've not even looked at the front end of the website yet. I've got a 3-year plan. I know exactly what type of business it is.
Then you're going to go, and then you're going to go and look at the website after that, and you're going to go, right, why is this business not getting many site searches? Why is this business not getting
it tells you where you need to look at.
Yeah, why are people landing on the product page? Why is that product page not converting? And those kind of things. Or why, when, you know, I know in this industry that people tend to buy three things per order, they're only buying 1.5. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just finish off.
Yeah, I think basically so you do that first. Don't look at the front end of the website. Do it now for your own site. Go and do it all. And then you look at the front end, you go, bloody hell, why is our search? Why have we only got 2% of all traffic using search?
Yeah.
You know, and if we've got 5% of traffic using search and they converted at the same rate, we would have made another 250K.
Yeah. What I would do, because obviously I do a lot more media buying than you, paid search stuff. So basically I don't even care about the conversion rate or the average order value in analytics sometimes, because I go and look at the main traffic sources, paid traffic source, and I go, well, what's the return on ad spend they're getting on that traffic source? Is that profitable? Because let's say they go, well, we really need to hit x4 to make this profitable. And if it's like x2 or x3, then I have to go and go, well, how can I tweak that to actually get that up? Because it's not going to work. Do I, if I need to kind of get that up, is it going to be, which is the easiest lever to push? Can I increase the average order value, or can I increase the conversion rate, add to basket to order? You know, how am I going to actually get to that point? Because there's no way I'm going to be able to scale this company if I can't buy more traffic. If I can't go and buy twice as much traffic that I can now, then it's game over. So that's what I'm looking for, as I'm looking for that little lever. And I go, oh, I can see their upsell strategy is not good enough. And I can definitely go and get another 10% there, and I can get another 10% there. Well, how does that make my ROAS? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's giving me a little bit more margin. And therefore then I know I can scale, because I think a lot of the time people come to me like paid search and go, oh, you're really good at paid search. You're really good at Google Shopping Mart. You could just turn this account around. And I'm like, well, yes, I'm sure I can do it better. But if I want to make fundamental changes, I have to get involved in the website, because
you've got to. Like, yeah, you've got to. You can't.
You
can't cheat it. You can't trick. You know, all of a sudden people are not going to start buying just because, you know, you've gone and optimized the feed. You know, yes, it might improve things, but you're not going to get any fundamental game changes.
It's not a game changer, though, is it? I mean, you can certainly, if you come across an account that's been badly run in Google Shopping, you can make it work. But like, if you want to actually turn this business into something in someone's, you know, like one of our success stories, you know, like start £30,000 a month and you end up, you know, doing a million a month, like eventually, which is, you know, what we've done with some people. That's not just from done from just fiddling around with the Google Shopping and Google Ads. It's a fundamental,
you know what,
you know, movement through the business.
I think there's a really interesting philosophy that we've talked about a load of times, and I think, and to be honest, it's probably only, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago that this really sunk in for me, is that, you know, often you like, in order to scale the e-commerce business, all you're trying to do is buy traffic profitably. Because you can click your fingers right now today and you can buy traffic. You know, you can have 100,000 people to your website tomorrow if you wanted to. You know, the traffic is there. But is it going to be profitable? And the answer is probably no. So the answer is the question is not how do I get the traffic, but how do I get traffic profitable? And if your return on ad spend target is, you know, I have to be at 4x my return on ad spend, you know, with all things considered, you know, margins and management fees and returns and tax and all those things. If it has to be 4, and right now you're doing 8, you know, you're an 8x return, just spend more. You spend as much as you possibly can until that return on ad spend fails. And it dips below that magic figure, which is 4x. And that's where, of course, you then optimize, because you can spend your life optimizing. And obviously you need to. It's a continual game, but it can take months and months and months and months and months. And right now, your quickest thing might be just to spend a little bit more and really, really understand that maths game, that all you're trying to do in this business is buy traffic profitably. And how can I get to that next point? You know, you might say, you know, I spend $5,000 a month, and, you know, and that's when I start to dip below that magic 4 times. Mm. Right, I need to spend $10,000. How can I do that? And that's where you need to go. I need to change the average order value. I need to change the conversion rate. And I'm going to do that by increasing my lifetime customer value. I'm going to do that by increasing my number of items per order, by increasing my average order value. And that, and it, you get that philosophy into your head. It's like, how can I buy, how can I spend $10,000 a month and still be profitable? And then you keep doing that till you're going to, you know, you're spending $100,000 a month. And it's, that's the game. The goal isn't to spend less. It's, the goal is to spend more, but do it profitably, because it's the quickest way to you know, start growing.
And another way you might go is go, well, how can we know it costs us to recruit. We can't get any more traffic over 4. Maybe, you know, the only way you could go down to 3.5 or 3 is if your lifetime customer value is higher. So then you go, right, how can we get more money out of existing customers? So when they come on, we can actually recruit them, maybe just by just making scratching our back kind of just. So that we, because we know when they come into our system, we've got systemized our marketing system, they're going to buy, you know, £200. If it costs us £30 to recruit, and we just make a little bit of profit on that, not much.
Yeah.
But we know we're going to get £200 over the year. You're going to put them into it, aren't you?
Yeah. That in fact, that if that, you know, that's why you've got to understand the whole metrics, because that, and that will be factored into your return on ad spend ratio. Because you go, actually, we can afford to go down to 2 times because we know that the lifetime customer value is that these customers come in and on average they buy 4 times a year. So therefore, we only need to go to 1 to 2. That's why you've got to understand your lifetime customer value as well. It's just a simple math game, isn't it? I mean, it's dead easy, really. You break it down to its fundamental thing. It's very simple.
It's simple to understand the maths. It's just sometimes... Yeah, it's just you've got to get into the weeds to actually understand each store, to understand what they've got to do, because it is always a little bit different about how to do it and how to change it and stuff like that. But often, you know, it's a similar thing. So it's about, you know, recruitment and then lifetime customer value. It's what those two. So how easily can you recruit and how easily can you turn that customer into an ongoing customer? Mm. So, you know, it's not rocket science, is it? But it's certainly very lucrative if you can get it right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it. Yeah. The conversation we've just had is probably a conversation that I would have at the end of this little Google Analytics review.
Yeah.
Is really around the maths of it, the metrics of it, the fundamental, maths behind an e-commerce business. Yeah. So that's cool. And I would say very happy to look at people's Google Analytics. If you always happy.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we just let Mark know and we'll take a look. Mark does it.
Hobby. Thanks. Yeah. Well, they can book, everybody can book an e-commerce call at ecommercecall.com, and then one of us.
This is a new thing. I didn't know who did this.
Ecommercecall.com. That'll take us to like a little booking form, and then that'll set up a call with one of our senior people. Natasha does a lot of close calls. She can look at the analytics as well for people as well. So, so grab that. We're giving 3 calls away. I think there's a little advert at the beginning of the podcast as well. With some funky music. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Mark.
Cheers.
Cheers, then.
Bye. Bye.